us, we are going to read the story from the Bible, and Sarah is going to come and read to us from Luke 15.
Jesus continued, "There was a man who has two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country and began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms round him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come, he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a son, a young goat, so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because the brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found."
Now, I know that Miriam's already given you lots of things to do while I'm doing this bit. I'm quite happy if you ignore that. But I think it's right that we just take a bit of time to pray together. So let's pray. Just at the moment, this is a world full of hurt. It's full of pain. We've seen in recent weeks the shooting at the gay club in Orlando, the murder of Joe Cox. We continue to see conflict in Syria and Iraq. And there are people who find themselves very frightened because of the way that our world is just now. Father God, we seem to live in a world that has chosen to be without love and prefers hatred. We can't understand it. And we don't like it. We ask you, Father, for all who feel fearful today. Father God, remind each and every one of your unfailing love, that love is stronger than death, that grace and mercy triumph. And Lord, help us to be those who make that happen in our world. So hear us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, do you know what Miriam's done? She's arranged this bit of the service. She said, "You'll do the talk bit towards the end, won't you?" And I think in her head, there was this sort of serious talk from me, and the kids. She's got them all occupied down here. Now that will never do. So that's going to have to stop. We're going to have to do this story once more, because I don't think you've quite got the hang of the story yet. And then I want to say just a couple of things about it. So I need all of these here up on the stage, if that's all right. And anybody else who fancies being up there as well is very welcome. Tim, you might want to just move your bass for a moment, because I'd like to fill the stage up a bit. And you're going to need to be able to see what's on here, because your instructions will appear on the screen. That's nowhere near enough. You don't need great skills for this next bit. So anybody else fancy getting up on the stage here? All we're going to do is we're going to act out this story. And the rest of you are not going to get off with it either. So you're going to be doing this too, but you can do it from the comfort of your own seats or somewhere near them. Okay, what's going to happen here is that I'm going to tell the story, and every now and again there's going to be an instruction up here on the screen for you to join in with it. But I think, first of all, there's one tiny bit where you might need training. Because I realized after I did this, I used a word in the on the screen, and I thought, I'm not sure everybody's going to know what that means. So, let's find out, first of all. How many of you know what I mean when I say facepalm? See, they do, and about a tenth of the rest of the congregation does. So, facepalm, it's that, all right? Not with such force, but that's what it is. So you will see that. And you will see a particular favourite expression of mine, which is three letters and an exclamation mark. So when you see the instructions facepalm do appear on the screen, you are supposed to do that. All right? Can the folk on the stage manage that? One, two, three. Perfect. Lovely. Here is the story. Would the rest of you fancy just standing up for a moment? And do spare a thought for poor old John at the back, because he's got to keep up with all of this. And we're just going to go through the story one more time, all right? There once was a farmer who had two sons. They all worked on the farm together. But one day, the younger son got fed up. He threw down his spade and stomped up to his dad, and he said, "Absolutely." Oh, we'll just pause for a moment there. There we are. We're back on track. I'm sick of this. And he wanted his money. And his dad handed over the money. The boy jumped for joy. He shouted, "Money, money, money!" And he set out on a long journey away from home. He got to a great city in a foreign land and went on a wild spending spree. New clothes, lots to drink, wild parties, until the money ran out, and all his friends left him. And the only job he could find was cleaning out pigs. Dear. He had nothing to eat, and he slaved there miserably for ages until one day he came to his senses. Doh! And wondered how he got in such a mess. He decided to go home and say sorry to his dad, and maybe his dad would let him work for him again. And so he set out on the long journey home. But his dad was looking for him. And when he saw his son walking miserably towards him, he felt so sorry for him that he dropped his spade and he ran to him. His son fell to his knees. He tried to say sorry, but his dad pulled him up and gave him a big hug. He shouted, "Get ready some clean clothes. Put a ring on his finger. Get some new shoes. Get lots of food ready so we can party. My son was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found," and everyone began to party. Everyone except the older son, who was still digging away. When he found out why they were having a party, he was furious. I'm tempted to leave it there for a moment. He was furious. He stamped his foot, and he stayed outside sulking. And it's a very good sulk, Hayden. Till his dad came out to see what the matter was. The son said, "Dad, it's not fair. I've worked for you all this time and he gets the party. It's not fair. It's not fair." Thank you. Let's just try that again. "It's not fair." His dad said, "Son, you're always with me. All I have is yours, but we had to have this party because your brother was dead, and now he was alive, he was lost, and now he's found," and everyone shouted, "Hip, hip,
hooray!"
Thank you. Give yourselves a huge round of applause, and please do go and sit down. Here's the point. This is Father's Day. And sometimes what we do is in our heads, we say to ourselves, that means that if I remember what my dad's like, God's just like a bigger version of that. Well, that's a problem. I don't know about other people's experience. I had a great dad, and I'm delighted about that. But I know that lots of other people didn't. So if we take our image of our fathers and we blow it up huge and say God's like that, some of the people in the world will think, "Oh, God's great." And a lot of people will think, "I don't want to know a God like that." So what God does is say, before you try to imagine what it means for me to be your father, let me show you what kind of dad I mean. Now imagine this. And the picture that God paints for us of the father like the father he is this one. The father waiting for his son to come back. Sometimes being a dad is not about protecting your kid from bad things or bad decisions. God, our Father, longs for us to love him freely. And so that means that he lets us make stupid choices. And which one of us hasn't done that? God shows us that being a great dad. Today's Father's Day, so I'm saying great dad. But actually this is true in so many other ways as well. Great mum, great friend, great sister. God is showing us that being a great dad is more about being ready to welcome people back with joy than it is about preventing mistakes. The thing to remember, the image to take away, is of that embrace as the lost son. Both sons were lost, weren't they? As the lost son is welcomed back. And the father gives him a huge hug. And think about the people that you know, maybe including yourself, who've got lost. The people that you know who don't know what it is to be loved and welcomed and accepted, valued, trusted. Pray for them that they will know what it is to feel the embrace of a God who loves them. When you're trying to put together a picture in your head of God as our Father, don't just blow up a picture of some other father and say God's like that. Have a picture of this in your mind. This is how God fathers us. He is always ready to welcome us back when we make mistakes and return to him. The son in this story had got it all worked out. I notice that every time I hear the story. He's reciting in his head exactly what he's going to say when he meets his father. He's got his speech worked out. And he tells us what he's going to say, and then he meets his father, and his father doesn't care what he says, really. But he says the speech anyway. And we do that too. We make up our speeches in our heads. We say, this is what I'm going to say to God when I finally get in touch. But God just wants us back. And he says, I love you. Let me embrace you. Who wrote that drama, by the way? I love the bit there. Go out and kill something and try to make it edible. I'm looking forward to my chocolate bar. I received my chocolate bar and Angela said, do you want me to look after that for you? To which the answer was, no, I can look after it perfectly well by myself, thank you. God is this kind of father, and he longs to welcome us back. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, Father, thank you. We've messed up, and we've run away, and we've asked to have all the good stuff right now. We've used it up and wasted it. And we've found ourselves in a place that has just nothing good about it. We've tried to rebuild a relationship with you based on us being a servant and doing what we're told. And it's such a joy to discover that what you want is just to show us love. So for ourselves and for those we know who are still so lost. Father God, keep on drawing us back. Thank you that you've waited so long. But Lord, for those others who are still wandering, draw them back, we pray. Embrace them once more. In Jesus' name, amen. Next song. Let's sing together. how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure.